first, this last song, please. Thank you, team. I surrender all. Easy words to say and sing, but do we really mean it? To surrender all. It's going to connect with what we're going to learn today in Hebrews chapter 6. The title, sermon entitled, Getting Off the Fence on the Wrong Side. Remember, we started this controversial passage. And why it causes a controversy is it has been used by some to teach that people can lose their salvation. You can be born again, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, but then God can break it and you can lose your salvation. And I have run into people who are just traumatized by that. They're so fearful that if they ever, whatever mistake they make during the day, they're going to lose their salvation. So people end up getting saved over and over, and it's just, there's no freedom, there's no joy, there's no peace. And so when we come to this passage and, you know, we look at these verses that people have taught falsely that you can lose your salvation, I've tried to break it down and slowly go into this passage so we can understand the full context and get it clearer and know exactly what it's saying. This controversial passage basically started in chapter 5, verse 11, where we first came to this part where he's talking to these Jewish readers of the book and they become dull of hearing. They don't really want to hear the Word of God anymore. We know the world is like this very much. People don't want to hear the Word of God even inside churches anymore. They'd rather have their ears tickled than hear sound doctrine. They become dull of hearing, which makes them sluggish. Sluggish of heart to truly commit to Christ and to God and to follow, be obedient. Some of the Jewish readers of this book are that way, and they're riding the fence on the outside of the church or on the outside of Christ, outside the tabernacle, as we have been talking as we go through this book of Hebrews. Some are on the outside, but some are on the inside riding the fence. So there's those that won't commit to Christ on the outside, but there's those inside the church who ride the fence. They're religious in nature, they'll claim belief, but they will not commit to what biblical Christianity, biblical discipleship and sanctification means. They learn to play the role. Play Christian, sound like a believer, but they're not committed fully in their heart. And that's the situation here. They're not sure if they should commit. Is Jesus worth committing to? Is the cost, is he worth it? Because see, these Jewish believers are soon to be riding the fence, maybe believers, maybe not. These guys are up against it. They're going to be persecuted by their own people. Any Jewish person who turned away from the old covenant and turned to Jesus would be marked. Maybe even by your own family you'd be persecuted. Friends, you might lose them all. You might even lose your employment. So to put your faith in Jesus, it was going to cost these guys. And they were weighing the cost. Don't become dull of hearing. Don't become sluggish of heart. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, these believers, these listener readers of the book of Hebrews, these people connected to the church in one way or another, he had already condemned them for not growing in the faith. And they should be growing in the faith. They should be committed to growing in the faith, but they're not. They're riding the fence. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying aside the foundation, laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And this is what we looked at last week. The Jewish readers needed to understand that their traditions, all the traditions they had gotten from Judaism, the way they taught the law in their corrupted state, their traditions of men that Jesus condemned the Pharisees for, all these traditions that they were trying to keep, the law they were trying to keep, or the traditions to get around the law, these elementary principles were of Christ. These first principles of the oracles of God, as he wrote in chapter 5, all these were fulfilled by Jesus. They needed to understand that. They needed to understand they couldn't do these things for themselves. Jesus came to do it for them. And they needed finally to get off the fence, accept Christ, accept what he has done for them. Accept the salvation provided through him. Stop looking back at the old covenant. Stop looking back at those animal sacrifices, the human high priest, keeping the law. No, you are free from that burden in Christ. He's the one that fulfilled all that. What they really needed to do was to put their faith in Jesus. A decision has to be made. No more riding the fence. It's time to get off the fence. If you're outside, come in. If you're in, get off the fence and fully get committed to Jesus Christ. Because there are many who are inside this way. They say they're believers, but they will not commit to discipleship, to mature in the faith. They'll stick with their Christian religion or church traditions, but they're not going to commit themselves to the study of the Word, to grow in the faith, to become teachers of the Word. And it doesn't take much to be a teacher. You just got to start learning, because the people out there, they know none of this. And once you start learning, a year in, 2 years in, 3 years, you already got enough to start helping others. You just got to do it. You have to have a desire to do it. But many don't. They want to have it easy. Just, I believe in Jesus and I'll attend church. Or, I'll believe in Jesus and I'll keep this rule here and this rule there. And I'll be good and that's good enough. And they don't commit to following what Jesus really calls us to. Complete surrender. To be His slaves. But slaves to the good Master. Complete sanctification and discipleship. To be His church. It's time for them to get off the fence. It's time for them to make a decision, to truly commit. But be warned if you choose to stay on the fence or even get off on the wrong side of the fence. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. This is the controversial passage right here. This is what people have taught. You can lose your salvation. And it focuses on that word, partakers. Writer of Hebrews is warning them, those who are riding the fence, they have been given all the evidence they need to prove Jesus Christ, to prove He is the Messiah. They have the Old Testament that points to Jesus. They have had Jesus Himself who came in the flesh, taught in their streets, taught in their temple, who performed miracles that only God can do, who died for their sins and who rose from the dead. They've had the teachings of the apostles. They've had the experience of being around or even in the New Testament church here, around born-again believers filled with the Holy Spirit. They've experienced all this, the power of the Holy Spirit inside the church. That's where they had been partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now see, this is what confuses a lot of people. Other places in Scripture, it calls believers partakers of the Holy Spirit. So they say, hey, see, these people are partakers of the Holy Spirit. So they have to be believers. So a believer can lose their salvation. Now, context, that's why we've been teaching it this way. Context is who's being talked about. Not believers, but those who are riding the fence. Those who won't commit. And if you look at this word partakers, English is a much less technical language than Greek. There are eight, that'd count. There are eight Greek words that translate into English as partaker or partaking. Eight of them. So just because it says partaker here of the Holy Spirit, and it may say it in another context, another part of the Bible, talking about believers, this is not what it's talking about here. Here the Greek is very clear. You can be a partaker of a group that you belong to. You're partaking in that group because you belong to that group. Or you can be a partaker of another group that you're associated with, loosely connected with, but technically you're not part of the group. And that's what this is talking about. These people riding the fence, outside or inside, they're connected to the church, they're around the church, but they are not the church. Not yet. They have to make a decision. They have to choose for themselves to get off the fence. They've seen all this. They've tasted of it. They've been experiencing God and His truth. But they are still unsaved, even inside the church. And that's why we have scary passages like, well, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, I never knew you. The writer of Hebrews is calling them out finally. He wants to go further in teaching them and discipling them, but they become dull of hearing, sluggish of heart, because they're riding the fence. They won't commit. Some are on the outside being more honest, but the ones on the inside, a little more dishonest, because they claim to be believers. They want the title. They want people to believe they're believers, but they're not in their heart. They're not committed to Christ. Hebrew writer is telling them, get off the fence. Because if you remain on the fence, or if worse, you decide to reject everything that's been presented to you. You decide to turn your back on Christ. You're in a very, very dangerous place. If they remain on the fence, or worse, they get off on the wrong side of the fence, meaning to reject Jesus, reject the gospel, pull away from it, walk away, fall away from the truth, they are sealing their fate. There is no hope for those who walk away from Christ, who get off the fence on the wrong side. Because only in Jesus is there true forgiveness and salvation. There is no other way. But if they reject Jesus, they crucify Jesus again for themselves. What does that mean? They've heard all the evidence for Christ. They've heard everyone teach about His love and His death for them. And they're sitting on the fence and they finally go, no, I don't believe that. And they walk away. They're saying that Jesus dying for our sins is not true. And they're agreeing with those who crucified Jesus in the first place. And they are saying, yeah, He should have been crucified. Not for my sins, but because He was false. They crucify Jesus again for themselves. They align themselves to those who are against Christ. Next slide, Levi. You guys have seen this diagram a lot. I hope it's kind of burned into your brain. When a person rejects the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ, rejecting Jesus, dying for their sins, they are rejecting the only way God brings sinners to Himself. They are rejecting the only way to repent and be saved. And since they have concluded the gospel to be false, Jesus is a lie, they fall aside, the wrong side. They renounce or abandon a belief in Christ. Go ahead and click. This warning is not about a believer changing their mind about Jesus and then losing their salvation. That's not what this is about. It's about an unsaved person who has measured and weighed the gospel and all the evidence for it and has rejected it and walk away. They're walking away from the only way to be saved. So if you say the only way to be saved is a lie, I reject it, then you can never be brought to salvation. You can never be brought to repentance. Because the only way to repent is to put your faith in Christ. These are the cold ones riding the fence on the outside. Or, as what has appeared on the screen, the lukewarm one. Who's in the church? Those who have never fully committed to Jesus. They're not found in the holy place in Christ, but they're found in the church. They sit in a pew, trusting their religious traditions and their good works to save them. Many of these stay in the church their whole lives. But they're still not found in Jesus. While other lukewarm ones stay loosely connected to a church, you see them on occasion. But over time, many eventually fade away from the church, never to be seen again. You see, the Bible is clear. On this subject, can a true believer lose their salvation? No. And a true born-again believer, because it's an act of God, salvation, being born again, is a complete act of God. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You will never, ever, ever reject Jesus Christ. It's not possible anymore for you. Let me show you why I say that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, that's capital A, that's the book of Revelation. Even now, many Antichrists, little a, people who are rejecting Christ, all the what you call atheists today and people who work against Jesus, work against the gospel. There are many Antichrists, but even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, if they had truly been born again, they would have continued with us. Do you know how many of the world's most famous atheists all started out in church? All of them. All of them. For if they had been of us, if they had really been born again, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. You see, an unsaved person can look like a believer, sound like a believer, be inside the church, but one day, when the whatever reason they have, they can reject and walk away. That's okay. That's not okay, but it's what an unbeliever can do, because they're missing something that'll keep them in the faith, and that's the Holy Spirit. They don't have it. They don't have Him. You see, I love what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. You see, our faith is given to us. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. God is so good. Salvation is a complete act of God. We just respond correctly to the gospel, which is in repentance and humbleness and faith. God gives us the ability to even believe and act. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit who sustains us. Oh, we're going to struggle, especially in the beginning. Oh, we're going to have doubts in the beginning. But He walks us through that. He never lets us go. But see, those who can walk away are proving that they never had the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way you can walk away. Because you're under your own spirit. But see, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, enabling us to stay. Just because someone hears the Word of God, they hear the gospel, they say a sinner's prayer, they get baptized, does not make a person saved. The true characteristic of a true believer is not sitting in a church, riding the fence, but complete obedience to God and His Word. The power of God through faith will sustain them, grow them in obedience. 1 John chapter 2 says this, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." You see, when before Christ, we didn't care about sinning. We did it. We had no problem with it. Some of us were even quite proficient at it. So that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. So even though as believers we still sin, we don't want to sin anymore, but we will. We still have that advocate, Christ. I said, the cross, the death of Christ, it plays a role in our life every day. That grace keeps coming to us every day. We're not being saved each day, but the grace continues to flow. You're saved once, and then you're in the grace. But we still need that advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, the appeasement of the wrath God has on sin. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. It's enough. Anybody can come. Anybody can come. Don't give me the Calvinist thing and the elect thing. I believe in the elect, but whosoever can come. Verse 3, now by this we know that we know Him. How do you know you really know Jesus Christ? If we keep His commandments. You see, there's this obedience the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. Where before we weren't obedient to the Word, but now we want to be. We're not perfect at it. We will still mess up, we'll still sin, but we still have that advocate. Verse 4. He who says, I know Him. He who says, let me put it in modern day terminology. He who says, I am saved. I am a true believer of Jesus Christ. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. They're lying about being a believer. Been there, done that. But what's so terrible about this, so deadly, is I believed the lie. I believed I was a believer. I believed my own lie. And the truth is not in Him. Being in Christ, the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Verse 5, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. I didn't want to keep this. Even though I claimed to be a believer. And I was a teenager doing this and a young man. And I'm a believer. I was born again. I said a prayer. I was baptized. But I had no desire to keep the word. None. But I came to be a believer. But see, the evidence is that you want to keep it. I didn't want to keep this till I was much later in life and I got truly born again. Then all of a sudden I wanted to be in the Word and I wanted to keep the Word. Where'd that come from? The Holy Spirit. Whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. That's sanctification, becoming the mind and the heart of Christ being developed in us so that we kind of show people Christ. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to finish up real quick. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. The writer says, after he warns them about getting off on the wrong side of the fence, you don't want to do it. Verse 7, he says, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. So after the warning, the writer points out how truth, in this case, the gospel that calls a person to have faith in Jesus, to get off the fence and commit, this truth has two different outcomes. When a truth is presented to an individual, there's two different outcomes. He gives the example of rain. Rain is good, but the soil it falls on may not be. The rain can cause good things to come from the ground, or it can cause bad things to come from the ground. It depends on what kind of soil the rain is falling on. The rain is always good. Just like the gospel is always good. But each person is a different kind of soil. And if you remember back to the parable that Jesus taught about the soils, not all the soils are good. The heart of a person. All our hearts are bad, but some hearts will be humble and receive while others reject. The gospel, when presented, can produce faith and repentance in some, or in others, rejection and hate. Let's look at these key words in this passage to show the writer is not talking about believers getting unsaved, but two different groups, unsaved individuals who fall away and believers who stick around. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. He says, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God. The writer understands that some are going to reject and walk away. He classifies them as they, getting off on the wrong side. They are a different group compared to the next group the writer of Hebrews addresses. They are the ones who reject. But he knows not all will reject. Some will get off the fence on the right side. Verse 9. But beloved. This is a description of those who are loved by God, who have received the love of God in their life. Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Not they, but you. They are the ones who reject, who walk away, who won't get off the fence. But you, you're connected to the we. The writer of Hebrews connects himself to the we. He's the we. A believer. The beloved. And how he's connecting those who are going to get off the fence on the right side. Different from the group that he classified as they. We describes mature believers. As the writer of Hebrews includes himself in that category. And he says, you, describing the ones who have accepted the truth. Who have not been riding the fence. Or maybe they've been close to the fence. As new believers, we can struggle. There's this struggle inside this church that he writes to because there's so much pressure on them. If they continue in the faith, if they commit to the faith, get off the fence, or once they have, if they continue to walk and serve Christ, they're going to be under persecution. They're going to pay a price. But he says, tells them, you're beloved. You've accepted the truth. You're no longer riding the fence. You believe in Jesus. And in verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Some have committed themselves. They're part of the we, the beloved, not the they. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate. You see, only someone who has the Holy Spirit can truly do what the writer is asking him to do, which is God-inspired. The Holy Spirit of God move these men. God does not ask us to imitate, to fake Christianity. He would never ask anyone to do that. So, this person, he says, you imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promise. Imitate, seek. Don't become sluggish, lazy, uncommitted. You've made the choice. Now follow through on your choice. Imitate those who are growing, who are mature in the faith. Don't allow yourself to become sluggish, slow to follow, but imitate. Follow the lead of the mature believers in the church. This is where the evidence of the Holy Spirit will be produced, proving that a person is truly born again. It's the changed life. You see, this word is alive and powerful. When you have the Holy Spirit of God and you seek it out, it comes in and starts to change you. It changes, it renews the mind, restores the soul. It starts to equip you, it starts to grow you, it starts to mature you. It helps you have self-control when you're being tempted. It has you respond to people in a God-honoring and loving way. And you see, the word just changes you. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The proof is in the pudding. These are the ones here who have gotten off the fence or who will get off the fence. And now it's time to grow in the faith. It's time to imitate those who have come before you. Let me give you a little test. We're almost done. How do you know you are saved? Or we could say, how do you know him? As John wrote. How do you know you're saved? See, again, this passage is about those who are riding the fence. Those who are riding the fence on the outside, who are definitely cold, unsaved. Those who are riding the fence on the inside, lukewarm, just as unsaved as the ones out there, but they may sound and look like Christians. But they're far from it. Jesus said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. This is the passage that says, Lord, Lord, and he says, like, depart from me, I never knew you. So this is another passage, the wheat and the tares. There are so many, though there's warnings to the church because the tares grow up among the wheat. Tares meaning false converts, false believers, wheat being real ones. And see, if the church is not teaching solid biblical truth, it's really hard to discern. People don't know that they might be a false believer. Because they do the church thing. They do church traditions. Or they were taught, all you have to do is say a sinner's prayer and get baptized and you're good. That's not in Scripture. So, solid biblical teachings will come to these passages and they'll challenge us. It's not that pastors want people to doubt their salvation. On the contrary, we want you to be sure of it. I want you to be so sure that you are saved and that you can never lose your salvation, that you will walk boldly in Christ, that you'll be courageous in Christ. That's what I want. So let me run you through. I'm going to ask you this question. Don't you ask in yourself, to yourself, answer how you would answer this question to yourself. And see if it lines up with what I have. Okay? So, I know I am saved because I said a sinner's prayer, was baptized, and I attend church every Sunday morning, or occasionally, or I did as a kid, but basically I'm a good person. A little slow there. No. How about this one? I know I am saved because I believe in Jesus, and I prove that by attending church, keeping certain laws of the Old Testament to show how worthy I am to go to heaven. No. I know I am saved because I have been born again in Jesus Christ. I have faith alone in Him, His death and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. The Holy Spirit has given me evidence that I am saved, that I have been born again because He has changed me. He has changed my life. The old is gone, the new has come. I have let the sins of my old self go. I can still struggle with temptations, but my desire is not to sin. But if I do, I know I have an advocate in heaven. So I accept that, I repent, accept God's grace, and try again to live a life that is honorable before Him. By the grace of God, I am maturing in the faith by the Holy Spirit through the study of God's Word, to the point of becoming able to teach others about my faith. God has given me a desire for obedience to His Word. I want to be the church. Not attend church, but be the church. To be the bride. And maybe for a man, say, oh, being the bride, but we understand that the church has such a unique relationship with Christ. It's as if we're a bride to Him and He's the bridegroom. And it's a special, unique, beautiful. And I want to be a faithful bride. I want to be His church. I want to be salt and light. I want to share the truth with the lost. So I do. I share. My faith in Jesus, my relationship with Him has completely changed who I am. My life is no longer about me, but Him. I am far from perfect. I still have a long way to go. But I love Jesus. I really do. And I want my life to be a testimony of that love. Come on up, team. You see, the other two are riding the fence. The one has gotten off the fence on the right side and committed themselves to Jesus Christ. Does your life this morning prove you have a real love for Jesus? It's easy to say it. It's easy to sing, "I surrender all," then walk out of here and not surrender all. It's easy to say, "I love Jesus," but walk out of here and not live like you do. Get off the fence. You're not safe there. You're in danger there. Does your life prove you have a real love for Jesus, that you were found in Him? Do you desire to grow in the faith? Are you growing in the faith? Or are you simply riding the fence? The warning to you is, get off the fence. Don't be dull of hearing the Word of God. Don't allow sluggishness. A sluggishness, I don't even know if that's a word, but I'll say it anyway. Don't let it creep into you. Don't let it get the best of you. Seek Him. Grow. Let Him change you, transform you. Become His church. Be His bride. A faithful, loving bride. We celebrated communion this morning. He died for us. He died for us. The least we can do is be a faithful bride waiting on Him faithfully and obediently. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. And I thank You for the beautiful promise of this word here today, that the teaching that we can lose salvation is a lie. It's false. Your word here proves that. Lord, You've said once You save us, we're sealed. You've never said You'll unseal us. And salvation is an act of God, and You have never said You will undo that act. But we have to understand, Lord, that we can partake. People can partake of Your truth, partake of the church, and still not be Your church. So, Lord, I ask You, as the Holy Spirit is so good and so kind and so gentle, that, Lord, if there's one person in here that is riding the fence, and they may not even realize they've been riding the fence, or maybe they do, but, Lord, if there's someone in here who thinks they're right with You, but they're actually not, I ask You to reveal that to them and tell them how much You love them and want them to come into the truth. And for us, Lord, that are in the truth, I ask You to help us understand the need for us to go out and live it and share it and continue to grow in it and be Your church. So, Lord, again, we thank You for Your word this morning, Your beautiful word. We pray this in Your name. Amen. All right, let's sing this last song and we'll go home.
Jesus is coming soon.
That chorus. All right, team. Let's break out of here. If anyone needs to talk, I'll be glad to talk. Never feel, ever feel that you're wasting our time or bothering us. We want to talk to people. That's why I'm in ministry. I want to talk to you, help you in your faith, lead you to Christ, whatever it is. Now, if it's about a car or fixing a car, I'll send you to Mark. But if you want to come in, don't ever feel like you're wasting our time. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. Period. All right, let's break out of here, team. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Come back tonight if you're interested in the subject. If not, have a great and wonderful day. I'll be praying for you this week. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here and count to three. One, two, three. Great, let's go.